Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 165 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling Setting Standards, Breaking Barriers at Today's WSCIA. About my conversation with Lauren Port, manager of the Washington State Crop Improvement Association. I became acquainted with the WSCIA 3 managers ago. Prior to Port taking over the job in January 2019, Jerry Robinson helmed the group. Before him, Keith Pfeiffer served as manager back into the 1980s. As their names reveal, both Jerry and Keith were men. In fact, I'm pretty sure all the managers have been men going back to 1946, when the WSCIA was established. Not to put too fine a point on it, but Port is of the generation of my 3 daughters, so I'm always pleased when another gender barrier falls. What's more, she's smart, funny, and like me, has grown to love agriculture from the outside in. Port grew up in one of the many suburbs that surround Seattle at a time when vestiges of agriculture could still be found. She recalled nearby horse farms as well as a chicken operation down the street that was converted to expensive homes as she was growing up. Back then, STEM programs in school, referring to science, technology, engineering, and math, were just becoming a thing for girls. Port embraced the science part. When it came time to go to college, the University of Washington was the obvious choice, but instead she headed to Cougar Country, where she received her undergraduate degree in agriculture and food systems with an emphasis in plant and soil systems at WSU. She received her master's degree, also from WSU, based on research she conducted at the Ralston Project, which researched many alternative crops in a wheat rotation. Port subsequently worked as a technician for WSU soil scientist Bill Pan and also on a grant-funded project. With the grant funding expiring, she was looking for a job around Pullman 5 years ago when she learned of an opening at the WSCIA as a field program manager. It was a great fit, and 4 years later, when Jerry Robinson announced his retirement, Port was picked to fill the top job. As you'll hear ahead, the WSCIA is really 2 organizations in one. There is a Foundation Seed Service, which provides seed production for private and public breeding programs. There is also a Certification Seed Service, which provides the field inspection required to produce certified seed and final certification of the seed. When I started my career in agriculture 30-plus years ago, I had a hard time recognizing where the WSCIA started and WSU left off. The lines were so blurry as to be almost unrecognizable as lines. But that was back in the days when the WSCIA's main client was WSU, and the organization actually occupied WSU buildings. Now, with 5 private breeding companies deeply involved in Eastern Washington's wheat industry, the lines are less blurry, but when it comes to WSU, still in soft focus. Today's WSCIA office is located in a modern building off the WSU campus, and while the old seed house remains on campus, it's expected the location will be swallowed up by a new university building project in just a few years. In anticipation of that day, a seed house in Moses Lake was purchased by the WSCIA several years ago. The WSCIA is structured to be run by its members with a staff to oversee day-to-day operations. Although men dominate the board, the majority of the staff, as you'll hear ahead, are women. As a former reporter, I remember covering agriculture that had very few women in positions of authority. When the first woman president of WAG was elected in 1989, it was big news. All of us have experienced the changes that have occurred since then, one that was illustrated by the number of women who attended the 2019 WSCIA annual conference held at the Northern Quest Casino in November. To give you a feel for the changing dynamic, I've posted photos of some of the women at the annual conference on our Washington Grain Commission Facebook page, with a photo of Port in the number one position. I've also posted a handout that the WSCIA recently released to help explain certified seed. Port is not only a woman in what has been a man's profession, she is a millennial, whereas the majority of Washington wheat farmers are baby boomers and nearing retirement. I asked the 31-year-old Port whether she had been intimidated about undertaking such a key position given her age.
I was. I definitely was intimidated by that. And really, what helped me make the decision that this was a fit for me is, first of all, the people that I work with. We have a great team, and being able to work with that team is something that I wanted to maintain. But crop improvement has not had very many managers in the course of its history. And so here I felt like I was young taking on that role, but these other people must have been too, if they were sticking around for so long. And that was very encouraging.
Yeah, good thinking. You're right. So, okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the Washington State Crop Improvement Association, which we all say is WSCIA, very quickly. How is the WSCIA supported?
We have two main income sources. You'll hear a lot about our foundation seed program. So we do foundation seed production for varieties that are bred and released by Washington State University through an agreement with them, and also by Oregon State University. And then, along with foundation seed, we do certification. So certification is seed production that is dictated actually first by the Federal Seed Act, and then from there, each state has a designated authority to handle seed certification. In Washington, we have two agencies. We have ourselves, and we have the Washington State Department of Agriculture. And what this ends up meaning is that our certification fees are something that are described in Washington Administrative Code. They're a fee that are well known. It's a lot of action to change them. And that's where we get another big set of our income from, is those field inspections and seed certification.
The WSCIA is charged with developing, producing, and distributing certified seed in order to improve crop quality and yields. Now, how does that improvement in wheat yield and wheat quality result from certified seed?
How many answers do you want? There's a lot to this. In our current cropping systems, what's becoming, I think, really important is that certified seed gives you a sort of guarantee that you're getting the genetics you're looking for. So many of our regionally active breeding programs are using a certified seed requirement on their varieties. That means that the variety is available only as a class of certified seed, and that the farmer, when they go to the seed company to buy something like Puma, soft white winter wheat, they're going to get that variety. And they know that Puma has certain performance characteristics that they're looking for, or maybe there's quality characteristics they're looking for. So it's that sort of varietal identity that's really important part of certification. Other things that have been used as evidence of the benefits of certification are its relative weed-free status. So we have specific standards and limits on the amount of weed seed that can be present in a certified seed lot. So if you're a farmer, you're going to buy seed, you want a good weed management practice. It's not going to involve planting seed with weeds in it. So that's a good benefit, keeping those weeds out of your system. There's also been some research at other agencies. It's been done in Kansas showing a yield gain when you use certified seed. And there's been studies done, I think, in Utah showing that generally certified seed is of better quality than bin run seed. That's what the comparisons are made to, is a farmer's bin run seed versus certified seed.
And so we have about 2.2 million acres of wheat planted in Washington every year. What percentage of that do you think is planted to certified seed?
We estimate that over 90% of those acres are planted with certified seed.
Interesting, 90%. Describe the seed industry you face as a manager in 2019 and the seed industry of 20 years ago.
Oh, this is a good question. I think one thing that comes to mind very easily is that we have a lot more varieties available now. And I got to go back farther than 20 years. If you look 40 years ago, we had only varieties coming from public breeding programs. So if you just want to make a parallel to today, that would be only having access to WSU varieties and USDA. They'd be the only ones active. Now we have at least three private breeding programs active in our state. If each of those programs handles at least 15 varieties, that's a lot of varieties available in the marketplace. For certification in 2019, we field inspected 136 varieties of wheat. If you were looking back 40 years ago, I would place it at 20 to 25 at the most. So that's one of the big changes.
So that means you're growing out 136 different varieties, correct?
That's what we're field inspecting for certification. At Foundation Seed, right, the other half of what we do, we're handling not all of those, but still a pretty significant amount, 60 to 70 varieties a year we deal with between small grains and pulse crops. So we at Foundation Seed, we grow only WSU and OSU stuff. It's those other companies out there that are growing the things that are released by Westbred or Lima Grain or AgriPro.
But you certify
that adds
them
to the total. Exactly. Right. Yeah. So Foundation Seed production versus certification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It really is a complicated organizational structure from my perspective.
It is. And I think I should sometimes actually have two hats. So we can like wear one that says Foundation Seed and have that conversation and then put on certification for another. We also use Google Earth to map our field locations. And when farmers or seed companies submit maps to us, many times they're done with satellite imagery, right, to help us find that location. Whereas 20 years ago, we're relying more on block and unit maps or maybe hand-drawn maps that come with a detailed description of how to find the field. So in that respect, those technologies are helping us do our job better. We've also gone very electronic. Our field application software is online, and we're getting 90-95% or more of our applications submitted electronically that way. And then if you wanted to talk a big industry change, I think it's more in the privatization of varieties and that companies are not letting growers save their own seed in the way that they used to. There was a change made to the federal PVP Act in 1994, and this is what the breeding programs use to protect their varieties. That changed the amount of seed that a grower can save for their own use. And not only has that change taken place, but more companies are moving towards this Title V, which means a certified seed only, and or, so sometimes these things work together, controlling it under contract and calling it certified seed only, which prohibits grower-saved seed. So that's a big shift that's taken place. We field phone calls on that regularly from farmers trying to understand what they can and can't save.
Okay. Speaking of now versus 20 years ago, the WSCIA of 2019 is staffed mostly by women. That's a big change. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So we have a full-time staff of just six. And so with our latest hire, yes, we moved into the majority of two-thirds female. And I think that that really is parallel to what else is going on in our industry. I know you were at our recent meeting, and that room was full of women representing the different companies that handle seed in our state. My further opinion on this is that when I was in school, there was a lot of emphasis on getting girls involved in STEM and making sure that we had a lot of opportunities to learn about science and know that science is open to girls. And there was a lot of you can do this language out there. And I think that if you look at the age of women in ag, there might be some of that that's influenced how we've ended up where we are.
So how is it to be interacting as a female in what is a male-dominated industry?
Can you tell I'm shrugging my shoulders?
So tell me about your board. How many members and from which sectors of ag do they come from?
Good question. We have 18 board members.
That's a big board.
It is a large board. They come to us from seed companies. We also have representatives from Washington State University. We have a representative from Oregon State University because of our relationship with them for foundation seed production. And we do have some grower board members. And it's really great to have them for guidance and for support, because I really count on them as a sounding board of, hey, this is the problem that we're facing as far as seed certification or even inventory management at Foundation Seed goes. And I'd like to hear what they have to say back. They help to keep us on the right path. They help moderate us a little bit sometimes. And by telling them what we're struggling with, there's also room to help the industry better understand what our goals are for certification.
As you mentioned, I attended your recent two-day conference at the Northern Quest Casino in Airway Heights. Now, it appears to me that attendance has grown. What is the membership of the WSCIA, and who attends the conference?
The membership of Washington State Crop Improvement is right now at 415 members. Those are individual producers. Those are what we call approved conditioning plants, so seed facilities that condition certified seed, or other businesses. The primary attendees at our conference are seed companies. We had this year in Northern Quest, we had about 210 people registered, which is actually pretty normal for us. But I think what we saw this year was people were just a lot more engaged. They stayed in the room. We had really great presentations that we offered.
Well, what information are you aiming to convey during the conference?
At our meeting, we present information about what's going on with our regionally located breeding programs. And so they each have 20 to 25 minutes to make a presentation about what varieties they're releasing into the marketplace, maybe what varieties are available that people haven't really had a chance to get yet. And then some of them focus on the experimental lines that people should be aware of when they go and look at plot tours in the summertime. So that's a good portion of our program. Outside of that, we also try to offer educational sessions about pesticides, about weed-resistant management, about disease management, and about some of the agronomics of the crops.
Okay. So you talked earlier about all of the varieties that the various breeding companies and universities are providing. What does the seed pipeline look like in the next 5 years? And will the number of varieties that we're seeing being released continue to grow?
I'm not sure that we're going to see an increase in the release of varieties. I think we're probably going to be remaining pretty constant with having this amount of new varieties available every year.
Well, it seems like the varieties are certainly turning over quickly. How long does the average variety last nowadays, and do you expect that to decline even further?
There's a lot of capital involved in bringing a variety to the marketplace, so I don't think that their lifespans will shorten much farther. Right now, it looks to me like we're getting a good 5 or 6 years out of a variety before it starts to be replaced by something else. It takes at least 2 years for a variety to go from foundation seed to certified class, which is widely available to the growers. And so there's kind of this delay. The information is out about the variety, but the seed stocks aren't available in large enough supply to get it in the growers' hands and in their fields. And after you get it there, finally, you've got 4 or 5 years of crop, just based on the varieties out there right now.
It is frustrating to me that I'm writing about new varieties that have just been developed and have just been released, and the growers are reading about them, and I'm afraid that they'll forget about them by the time they can actually get them in hand and plant them.
Keeping the people from forgetting about those new varieties really falls to those marketers, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. There was a time, you know, as a young reporter who didn't know anything, that I almost thought that the WSCIA and WSU were one unit. The lines were very blurry there. Can you describe the WSCIA's relationship with WSU?
Yeah, the lines are blurry sometimes between WSCIA and WSU. And our primary relationship with them is for foundation seed production. Our Foundation Seed cleaning facilities are located on campus at WSU. You come to the Grimes Way Seed House and you have our staff right next to the breeding program staff. And they work very closely together. It's a really great relationship we have. And sometimes it just means the lines are blurred.
Does that create any tension with the private companies who perhaps might say, well, come on, I'm just as good as WSU?
I don't think so. We work with a lot of the private companies as well, and we are certifying everybody's varieties, right? So this is the difference, again, between certification and foundation seed. So no, I don't see that happening.
Okay. No favoritism?
No.
All right. So what about your relationship with the Washington State Department of Agriculture?
We work very closely with Washington State Department of Agriculture as well. Seed certification is something that is the responsibility of the states. And here in Washington, WSDA has an agreement with Washington Crop Improvement that we will certify small grains, peas, chickpeas, and a few other crops. We also are responsible for forest reproductive material, for example. And so we're kind of running parallel operations in a lot of ways. WSDA is doing field inspections for vegetable seed production and the final certification and tagging for those crops. And Crop Improvement is doing the small grains and the peas, chickpeas, lentils. And we work very closely with them. It's the WSDA seed lab that is responsible for all of the testing that we do for certification. And we rely on them very heavily for that.
In terms of the pie chart, what are small grains in terms of your total workload?
Of our acres that we inspect for certification, the great majority of them are seed wheat. The next largest crop for us is chickpeas, and those acres languished a little bit this year.
Yes, so, they did.
Yeah, wheat is the winner.
All right. So you were at the Washington Grain Commission meeting not long ago, and you were talking about a tweak to the rules that WSCIA adheres to. I would have thought that in 50 years, everything would be down to a science. Will there always be a little flux, and why?
The latest rule changes we're looking at, I'd say, are actually due to changes in science. We're looking at a couple of things that are related specifically to the chemicals that are available for our cropping systems now. So one of them is some rule changes to handle how this new axigen trait wheat is produced, and that's just something we have to build in because it's new in our system. We're also looking at some changes for management of Ascochyta blight and chickpea, and we're able to consider these because of the fungicides that are available for the cropping systems.
Oh, interesting. I'm always a little disappointed at the annual conference that breeding companies don't reveal the quality data for all the varieties they talk about. They note the ones that are particularly good, but there are many that they simply ignore in the quality department. And it seems to me like quality should be a mandatory part of any presentation. What do you think?
I think that it would be great if we could get them to show as much quality data as available. But I do have an awareness that they may not have access to that data, right? There's sometimes a variety is released and it is 2 years before we have quality testing on it.
But they have their own data. I think they obfuscate. I think that they try to sell people on yield and then mm-hmm. And they don't want to talk about the quality because the quality's not there, frankly.
But we have seen companies that do the quality testing and they decide to either not bring a variety into our marketplace or to pull it after release. And I don't know if you would have seen that 10 years ago or more before all the emphasis was put on quality.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Yeah.
Does the fact that you're of an age to understand the technology of the moment better than I ever will impact how you see the future of the WSCIA?
I think that it does, and I think it's something that's already been to my benefit because right after I started with Crop Improvement is when we started bringing our electronic systems online for certification. And hopefully that gives us a way to look into the future and apply future technologies.
Speaking of which, do you text business information?
Not very much, no.
Not very much. She does a little, though.
Just a little.
Okay, so what's the best part about your job?
there's a lot of very great things about what I do. And I think one of the most important parts of it is the people that I get to work with. I look at every job that I've had in the last 10 years, and it's that group of people that really makes it great. And being able to work as a team with them is fabulous. And when you're having a really hard day out in the field, a very long, cold, windy day, for example, when you've got a lot of other people with great attitudes, oh, it all goes great.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So what's the worst part? Is it those cold, windy days?
No, I would say sometimes the hardest part of the job is having to give someone bad news that their field has failed inspection. That's the hardest thing we have to do. And we know the significance of what's going on in the field, but we stand by the quality that is supposed to be there with certified seed. And if the field doesn't meet standards, it just doesn't pass.
And you're essentially telling this fellow that you're not going to make thousands of dollars that you thought you were going to make.
Yeah, I mean, they're likely not going to get that premium that was expected, or there's going to have to be some greater input costs. Maybe the field has to be rogued, or other things need to be done before we can pass it. So yeah, it changes what's going on out there.
What do you do when you're not managing the WSCIA?
I teach yoga.
All right, I do yoga too.
Very good.
Everybody listening to this, do yoga. I've been doing yoga for years, and while it hasn't slowed the passing of time, it has slowed the impact of the passing of the time. It's never too late to start. Port said one of the most frequent questions she gets from farmers is about whether they can save their particular variety of wheat seed or not. She said it is imperative that farmers talk to their seed dealers about their obligations regarding saved seed. And check out that handout I posted on our Facebook page. I hope you've enjoyed episode 165, or what I entitled, Setting Standards, Breaking Barriers at Today's WSCIA, about my conversation with Lauren Port, manager of the Washington State Crop Improvement Association. Please join me here again next week for another episode of Weed All About It.
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in its head. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when it's not enough wheat. We feed you.